Please turn to Psalm 132. We continue in these Psalms of Ascent. Psalms that tradition tells us were sung as the pilgrims would make their way for the three yearly festivals in Jerusalem. That also gives us a sense of that they're psalms of walking up to the temple, to the place of worship. But also for us, as we live this Christian life, they are, in a sense, have a symbolic function of reminding us that the Christian life, it is, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. So it's a path. And these are psalms that give us tools and encouragement for that path. This one we're come to today, 132, is interesting in that it takes us back into some history and then moves us forward as well, even in our own lives. I'm going to read Psalm 132. A song of ascents. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob, I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jaar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired for it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I would ask you to remember, think back to a high point of your spiritual life. We always want to be growing, but nevertheless, we have high points. Perhaps a high point of church life, something you remember, a fond memory, time of worship, maybe a church dinner. A revival service, or as we tend to call them in the Presbyterian world, Bible conferences. Maybe a retreat. A summer of working with Vacation Bible School. Maybe a church trip to a Braves game. You know, they're back up in the standings again after a few years of suffering through not being the Braves that we came to expect during those years. Maybe that's what it was. Well, it seems that today's psalm was perhaps composed in the time of Solomon. And following that, as it was used as a psalm of ascent, it therefore looked back to two or three different high points. It appears it was written during Solomon's time because he actually quotes it in his dedication of the temple. So it's a psalm that remembers a very special time of dedicating the temple. But even before that, it's anchored in a remembrance of David and of some things that he did in the sense of congregational life and worship for Israel. We'll get to those in a moment when we look at the specific content of the psalm. But I would simply say this, and in fact, here's sort of the, I'll give you the message in a nutshell here, that I think I might put it like this. Let's remember God's faithfulness in the past to help us pray here in the present with a hope for the future. Remembrance and the request of faith. That's what I'm calling the first half of the psalm. Remembrance and the request of faith. Now, I know you have the notes there in the, and I'm going to kind of follow through that in the bulletin. There's some things I'm going to sprinkle in it too. It appears there are three requests and three answers kind of built in. Kind of built in here. So in this first half, we have a time of remembrance and a request of faith that takes us back to David, to his commitment to God and to his legacy of worship. So in these first five verses, again, the psalm begins with a word of prayer, a word of prayer to God asking, Lord, remember. Will you remember, O Lord? And this part concerns David's commitment. King David, Shepherd David's commitment to God. He says, remember David, remember how he, it seems that this sort of hardship, this internal desire for something that he wanted to do for the Lord. Well, it's taken us back to that time when David finally found a little bit of measure of rest after being chased by Saul all those years. Remember King Saul, and that's David going from place to place and gathering his mighty men. He's finally taken up his kingship. He's restoring order. The Lord is using him. And they realize there's something they've kind of forgotten about. The Ark of the Covenant. That box that carried the tablets of the commandments and a part of their worship God desired for them to design and to use as a symbolic representation at that time in the history of redemption of God's presence with them. They'd forgotten about the Ark of the Covenant. It's been out. The Philistines had taken it, and then it was in I'm going to get to that actually in part in the second part of this first point. They don't have it. And they're remembering it. That it's God's dwelling place. And so David wants to bring it. And so they're asking God to remember David's zeal. His desire to have that Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem so they would have a sense, according to God's own instructions, of God's presence with them. David said, I can't, and this is the, we know of the story, but these are more specifics we get in this psalm. Again, makes us think that perhaps Solomon was part of writing it. He says, I can't rest until I find a dwelling place for the Lord. I'm going to try to apply this as we go rather than waiting to the end. So let me start now at this first point applying it. David couldn't sleep till he found a dwelling place for the Lord. Now, where does God dwell? Well, back at this time, Isaiah picked up on this same idea. Isaiah said later on, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Now, even that Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of that, that God is sitting in heaven and that even that ark would be his footstool. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, says the Lord. What is this house that you would build for me? What is this place of my rest? Isaiah picks up on the same theme of this psalm. He mentions a place for God's rest. And then Isaiah continues, all these things my hand has made. This is the one, Isaiah said, God said through Isaiah, to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. David learned that, what it was like to be contrite in spirit. David wanted to bring this ark to Jerusalem that they could have a sense of God's presence. The psalmist is saying, do you remember that David wanted to do that? And friends, I would just remind you, Jesus came and dwelt among us. He was the fulfillment of this. We're going to hear this. You're going to hear this over and over through this, but that's okay. He came and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. He sends his spirit to dwell within us. He comes to those who come to him in faith and repentance, even as David did. And so we can ask him. We can go to him in prayer, just like the psalmist, and say, Lord, remember. Remember what Jesus, just like they're saying, remember what David did for you. Well, David has a son, Jesus. And we can say, Lord, remember what Jesus has done for me. And we can make our request. So this remembrance was based on David's commitment to God. This request is also based on, and then this remembrance is based on David's legacy of worship. This takes us a little more specifically into the, this is what verses 6 and 7 are telling us. We heard it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jaar. They're actually describing where the ark was during those years. And we have to, for us it's hard to, we don't have these types of, I just said it, we don't really have these types of physical items. I mean, besides maybe a building like this, we come to this facility, to this place, and it is a sacred space for us. And when we come here, we gather together to worship. But we have the Spirit dwelling in us, which they did in some measure too. But again, the point is, we've in the new covenant, it's a more simple approach to God because Christ fulfilled this. But for them, it was really foolish that they just left the ark out for 20 years. And actually, this is describing the place where it was. And so in verses 6 and 7, it's just reminding us, let us do it. Let's bring the ark, which is what David wanted to do. And do you remember he tried twice? Remember the first time? It had been out there for a while. They hadn't really been thinking about it. Do you remember how you're supposed to carry the ark? With poles through the rings, and the Levites lift it up and carry it. And what were they doing? They're rolling it on a cart. You remember that? Rolling it on a cart. David's all happy, and then the cart hits a bump in the road. And what happens? Somebody touches it and falls down dead. Took two tries. They had to remember God has instructions about worship. God desires to be worshipped according to his own instructions. Men and women can't just decide how we would worship God. That's kind of a sub-point for us to remember too. We don't decide how to worship God, he tells us. Now they figured it out, and after it went for 3 months to another person's home and he was being blessed, David tried again and he did it right this time and he brought it correctly. And David then worship before God as they brought it. And there was a whole opportunity of time of worship, David's legacy of worship. But God had Solomon to build the temple rather than David. He saw David as one who had to come to his kingship through the shedding of blood, through all those battles and wars. And he said, no, David, your son's going to build the temple. And he did so. And when Solomon dedicates the temple in 2 Chronicles 6, he basically quotes verses 8, 9, and 10. Which is why I believe that the psalm was probably written in that time period. And each of these verses tell us something that it's worth thinking about very briefly. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. That's what they would say when they were going to bring the ark up and they were going to go into war to try to conquer the land of promise God had promised them. And so now they are using that prayer as they bring the ark home. They're saying, God, as we bring this ark home, as we're establishing this place of worship, this sacred space for your presence, you have to be with us. That's what he's saying. If you're not with us, then this is in vain. Just like this morning, if God wasn't with us here, this would be in vain, but he is with us. So arise, O Lord, go to your resting place. Come here and dwell with us as we worship you. That's what he's saying. Then verse 9. Another one of those requests I said were kind of embedded in the psalm. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness and your saints shout for joy. Do you know David? David set apart 4,000 Levites to offer praise with instruments. 4,000. Can you? That'd be quite a worship service. 4,000 musicians. Maybe they wouldn't all play at the same time. They'd rotate. Solomon, at the time of the dedication of the temple, was sacrificing more animals than you could count. The people were gathered in humble worship. Priests clothed with righteousness, saints shouting for joy. What kind of worshipers is God looking for? Jesus said, the Father is looking for those who worship in spirit and in truth. The Lord sets apart those he would have lead God's people, elders and deacons in our day, in our denomination, and then his saints gather with them, with the choir, to shout for joy. That's the prayer. Lord, the prayer in verse 8, be with us. The prayer in verse 9, grant us the joy of faithful, spirit-filled worship. And then he says in verse 10, the basis of the prayer, for the sake of David, don't turn away from your anointed one. Again, still asking God, don't forget, remember David. His commitment to God, his legacy of worship. Remember this. The psalmist is praying. And then God's presence was so acute that day that Solomon dedicated the temple. His glory was so thick and bright, the priests couldn't even go into the temple. They just stood outside. And here's what the people did. You hear it? It says, he's saying, let your people shout for joy, your saints. Here's what they shouted. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let me move forward here. How do we apply this in our day? This prayer of Solomon and this prayer of Psalm 132. I would say it like this. What does it say? Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, your saints with shouts for joy. Here's what we do. We approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ. All those who've trusted in him, you're clothed in his righteousness. You can approach God's throne. We worship God according to his word. We don't make up things. We don't make up ways to worship him. So we approach his throne of grace, clothed in Christ's righteousness. We worship him according to his word. We pray, and you know what we do when we pray? We pray, Lord, for the sake of David's greater son, Jesus, hear my prayer. Because he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so we pray the same way. Don't turn away. Don't turn away from us. Turn toward us for the sake of Jesus, your son. Here in the first half of the psalm, we have a remembrance and a request of faith based on remembering David's faithful commitment to God and legacy of worship. But we actually see the prayer immediately begin to be answered within the same psalm. And so in the second half of the psalm, which doesn't take as long to go through as the first half, we have the promise and the reception of favor, and we have the answers to those requests. I'm going to remind you because of those requests. We're asking God to remember. We're asking God. Yes, we're asking God to let the priest and the saints have righteousness and joy. And we're saying, Lord, don't turn away. Well, that's going to be answered here during this second half of the psalm. Promise and the reception of favor. Well, verses 11 and 12 tell us of the promise of the Lord. We're still remembering that time with David. David said he wanted to build God a house, but God said, no, David, I'm going to build you a house instead. And specifically, he said what verse 11 says, one of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. And then he makes it conditional. He says, you're only going to sit on the throne and have a functioning kingdom as long as they're faithful. So there's two parts to it. One of your sons I will set on your throne. Now that's going to go on forever. And that does come to pass in Christ. But at the same time, you know the history of Israel. Solomon himself failed to keep covenant with God, and things went awry very quickly. But nevertheless, God promised, a son of David will be on my throne. Christ was the one who ultimately fulfilled this. We have the promise of the Lord, 11 and 12. We also have the presence of the Lord. That takes us to the end of the psalm, 13 to 18. The Lord has chosen Zion. He's desired it for his dwelling. And then he continues saying how he's going to bless his people. Again, I want to make this really real for us. When he says, this is my resting place, I've already said it, I'll say it again, God's Spirit comes to dwell in us. In fact, Paul would put it like this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, you being rooted and grounded in love. God chose Zion as a symbolic resting place that David and Solomon set up. But in Christ, it's fulfilled. And he makes his resting place in our own hearts, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And Charles Spurgeon, I hadn't gotten my Spurgeon quote in yet. Charles Spurgeon said, where God rests, his people shall be satisfied. The Spirit of Christ is resting within your heart today. You will be satisfied. We have the presence of the Lord, the thing we need most of all. So the answer of remembering, God is answering, I've chosen a dwelling place. But then he answers again, and I hope that you notice it's something that's actually repeated. All of these psalms tend to show us what they are concentrating on because it repeats it. Remember in the first part, in verse 9, it says, let your priests be clothed with righteousness and your saints shout for joy. Now here in verse... Well, where am I? In verse 16. Yeah, there we go. Verse 16. Her priests I will clothe with salvation. This is God's answer. And her saints will shout for joy. That's God's answer. Okay. I will clothe your priests, and I will fill your people with joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, friends, as we minister and as we worship, even together in his name. Let's not forsake meeting together. The joy of the Lord, clothed with salvation, filled with God's joy. That's God's answer to this. Are you experiencing that even today? But then he continues his promise. I said this is promise in the reception of favor. He closes with a promise. I will make a horn to sprout for David. I've prepared a lamp for my anointed. On him his crown will shine. This is where it really comes home for us here in the New Covenant, here at New Covenant Church. The horn is God's strength and power. God's strength and power brought salvation through David's son, David's greater son, Jesus. Salvation has come. God's mighty arm has brought salvation. Salvation from sin for us. Salvation from the fear of death. And the power to fight against the world and the flesh and the devil. God answered this. He's brought his strength and power to bear for our salvation. He also brought that lamp. He did keep David's line alive. Though the devil fought against it, he kept David's line alive. The virgin conceived. And at the appointed time, the angels brought the shepherds great news, good tidings of great joy. For unto us this day is born in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And in his life, which he lived, perfectly fulfilling the law, in his death on a cross, the perfect sacrifice for sinners, his resurrection accomplished and proved our justification was secure, and the crown was placed upon him. King of kings, Lord of lords. The one at whose feet every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, Christ is Lord. And so I simply close by reminding you, pray like this. Ask God to remember his promises and make your request of faith. And then you yourself, count on his promises. Glory in the favor that he has sent us and showered upon us through Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And we pray in his name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.